The disappearance of the Titan submersible captured global attention, in part because it's such an extreme form of tourism available only to the ultra-rich. Luxury travel company founder Philippe Brown says the people interested in these sorts of expeditions don't see themselves as tourists but as modern-day explorers. Philippe runs Brown and Hudson, and he joined me earlier. Philippe, thank you for your time.
Hi there.
Your company has previously offered the Ocean Gate experience. Can you walk us through the cost and what's included and how you manage the risk involved?
Yeah, the starting price is $250,000, and that's the starting price. What we've done with our version of that experience is to elevate it, and originally the idea was to give people additional training and a much greater degree of preparation. And that's something we do in all the work we do, is we think about what happens before people travel, what happens when they're traveling, and what happens afterwards. So there's a great deal more preparation involved. And that was the nature of our version or our interpretation of the Ocean Gate experience.
How popular is it? And are many people put off by the danger that it poses?
It's been really popular, mostly in the same way that Blue Origin and Virgin Galactic are popular, because there's a massive waiting list. And there's a great deal of excitement and anticipation around the Titanic exploration or space travel. And so people are very happy to put themselves on a wait list with an investment of a couple of $100,000. Some people even put themselves on a wait list with a view to simply networking with other people who might be doing something similar. And then they might even resell their spot. I'm aware of a couple of situations where that's happened. So there are lots and lots of different motivations, but they definitely consider themselves explorers.
Just talk to me about that when you say consider themselves explorers.
Well, in a certain way, the people who are doing this kind of thing are the modern day equivalents of the Vanderbilts or the Rockefellers or Carnegies of the past. They're pushing the boundaries. They're fronting the money for or subsidizing scientific exploration. So in this case, it was getting a better understanding of the Titanic, but pretty much every venture of scale that's happening, the ultra-rich are paying huge amounts for. And in a certain way, they're no different to past explorers, where you had a Shackleton going to do something incredible in Antarctica, but his expedition was financed by other people. So In the modern day, you have ultra wealthy people who are going themselves personally to do these things with varying degrees of risk, obviously.
Do you think this tragedy will deter clients from seeking out these kinds of experiences?
I think it will deter some people, but I think part of the legacy of this tragedy is that people will think a great deal more about risk, what is needed to mitigate risk. And then there'll obviously be changes to regulation and possibly some thought given to how rescue and recovery operations are undertaken and who pays for them. Because a lot of the negative press has been about the cost involved with search and rescue. But no, mankind has a sort of built-in drive to search and to explore and push boundaries. And that's why, you know, SpaceX is trying to get to the moon again, and why mankind does these things that in many people's eyes seem crazy.
Would you do it?
I would definitely go to the International Space Station and spend time there. I'm less of a fan of the kind of Blue Origin thing, and I'm not a although I love scuba diving, I have there are limits to my depths.
Mm-hmm. Do you see your work through a similar lens, essentially that idea of modern-day explorers enabling people to push those boundaries?
Our work is to help people accomplish dreams. And if you think about the fact there are probably 2,500 billionaires on the planet, very, very few people treat them as regular people, and very few people understand their needs. So our work is to understand their needs and their possibilities. And their possibilities are pretty much everything, everywhere. I mean, if you consider that, I mean, Bill Gates is an extreme case, but, you know, he's making several hundred million every time, you know, every night he sleeps. In fact, no, not several hundred million, but definitely a couple of million or 3 million or so every night in his sleep. And there are other people who are making similarly large amounts. And so it's our responsibility as a creative, bespoke travel company to dream up ideas and then to deliver them. And the possibilities of expeditions are vast, you know, whether it's Everest or the Amazon or, frankly, visiting the real Father Christmas in Lapland, you know, that is an expedition for certain families. Then we had someone who was a Vietnam vet who wanted to meet he wanted to meet someone from every one of the 53 minority peoples of Vietnam. And that is an incredible challenge.
When you describe it that way, are you telling me, I'm fascinated by this, that really rich people come to you with very specific ideas as well of what they want to do and you try and do it?
Some come with very specific ideas. Others have no idea, but they know that they want to push their boundaries. And those boundaries take all sorts of different, you know, shapes and forms. One particular version of that is virtual reality experiences. And that's something that people are coming to us exploring the idea of. And these are kind of like a computer game, except it's a virtual reality experience based either on somewhere they've traveled to in the past, somewhere they've never been and never will go to, or a completely infinite original world that's never been created. And that's that whole journey of creating that is an expedition. And that's figures that are in excess of £1 million because you're creating something from scratch. And whenever you start, the problem with luxury travel is that very much of it is sold as a commodity. The company's selling other people's products without adding value. But when you start imagining, creating, and ideating experiences, then you're in a different world. You're making dreams come true. And that's real time, and real time has a cost.
Mm. There are concerns over whether the submersible met safety standards. Has this raised questions for you about the travel industry's approach?
Absolutely, yeah. I think I've long felt that travel has been treated as a light, fluffy, happy thing, and that companies have been fearful of talking about risks, and whether that's kidnappings in Lamu or bandits in Colombia, the travel industry has steered away from that. And something that we do systematically on anything we create is a risk assessment. And that's just an open conversation with clients where we say, look, these are the risks. These are the things we've done to mitigate those risks. And then there are these three residual risks. And the chances of those three things happening are incredibly small. But personally, I'm glad because it seems that the approach to risk in this particular case, certainly in certain areas, was lacking. So, you know, if there's increased regulation, then that will probably be a good thing. But then it's a balance, achieving a balance between regulating and not stifling the ability to explore and push boundaries and make new discoveries. It's a very tricky balance.
Philippe, thank you so much for your time.
It's a pleasure.
Philippe Brown is the founder of the luxury travel company Brown & Hudson.
ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music and more.